Hello, everybody. Welcome. I want to play some original music from my guests joining today. So here we go. Here's like a few seconds of it.
I've got a fire for my heart's desire, but I'm a lady hearted gal, can't you tell? But that won't stop me, 'cause still you haunt me. I guess it's just as well I'm gonna fire off.
That just came to a quick end. Sorry. So that's just a little bit. I am so excited to be offering some live music from my guest today that I'm going to be talking to. And I'm just going to give a quick intro and then we are going to get to have our conversation. So, hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. We are so grateful that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. To give you a little bit of some history on the podcast, it was born from my company called I Am Creative, and the mission is to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and to empower people, especially adults, to own and express their talents that come in so many different forms. So in this space, I get to talk to so many inspiring people that have jobs, hobbies, and interests that come in so many different forms, such as a multidimensional healer, actress, doctor, lawyer, 13-year-old entrepreneur, and so many more. And the conversation is structured around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? And then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes. So my inspiring guest for today is April May. And she sings one of her songs, "Hear My Train A-Comin'," in 1940s roll hairdo style. The effervescent songstress who serves as a lead vocalist, washboard percussionist, and sometimes kazooophonist for, if I said that right, for April May and the Junebugs, dubbed the Breakout Surprise Act by concert reviewing journalists on multiple occasions. The trio also features instrumentalists Catfish, Dave Feca, cigar box guitar, banjo, mandolin, and Topher Horner upright bass. Whew. April May and the Junebugs travel the country in their unmistakable award-winning biodiesel-powered show bus, the Boogie Bus, which boasts a zero carbon emissions footprint and conjures classic 1940 style, thusly named for the musical mantra, "It's all about the boogie," proclaimed on her destination plate. Whoo! Well, hello, April May. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Hollis?
I am good. Welcome to the space. I hope I pronounce things okay.
Absolutely, you did. Thank you for
Well,
having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. So here in New Jersey and the East Coast, and I know the Midwest, it is snowing.
Yes, absolutely. It's beautiful, though, I have to say.
It is, right? I love it also. So cozy. So, is there anything that you wanted to add to the bio before we get started?
Well, I just wanted to add that we put out an album last quarter of 2020 that was inspired by Halloween. And I have that up on our website if people want to check that out. And we put out another single this winter called "It's Getting Kind of Chilly" that featured my first ever tap dance percussion solo on a live recording.
Oh,
That was fun.
have you been tap dancing for a while?
I did when I was a kid, and then I picked it up again a couple years ago and was doing it at shows for certain songs. And this was the first time we actually recorded it to have it be on a track that was going to be released. So it was really fun. We actually recorded it at home because, because of the way the world is right now, we're doing a lot of things at home we used to do in the studio. So
Right, right.
anyway, it's just kind of fun.
Which is going to lead into a whole conversation of where all this creativity comes in and how we incorporate it into our lives. So this is going to be amazing.
Yes.
So let's start with a would you rather question, and this is a pretty simple one. Nothing
Okay.
daring and crazy before we dive into our three questions. But so April, would you rather read a book or watch a movie?
read a book.
That was very fast.
Yeah, I was just reading a book before I got on.
So what are you reading?
I'm reading a book. It's very interesting. It's called Night of the Witches, and it's about Wild Purchase Night celebrations in Europe, which is like a second October in certain countries in Europe. So it was something new to me that there even was such a thing. So I'm reading a book about it.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Yeah.
That's so that's, yeah. See, I watch movies. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. I definitely turn to my daughter, and I have a tradition where we, every night we end up watching a movie, and I think I need to go to Movies Anonymous because I can't stop a movie in the middle. I have to watch it till the end.
Oh, I'm the same way. I love movies too, though. That's my go-to when I need to decompress and just, you know, shift out of my life. Then I go absolutely to a movie.
A little escape that way.
Yeah.
So this is going to be good. And I have to thank Judy. Judy, thank you so much for introducing April and I. And what's amazing is, so Judy lives in California. And I thought that this is what you get with assumptions. It's like, oh, yeah, April's probably in California. And then I saw her on her phone number. I saw the area code. I'm like, wait a minute. She's in New Jersey, like where I am? Where does she live?
We're like two towns away. And I also thought you were probably in California because we were connected through Judy and she's in California. So what a surprise.
So there we go. A very happy surprise. So a fellow New Jerseyan.
Yeah.
So April, let's dive into the first question. So, and guests, thank you so much for being on the live with us. So the beauty of being live is you get to put any questions or comments in the chat box below. So please do not hesitate to do that. And then you can be part of the conversation. So April, so how do you define creativity?
It's funny because when I read the question, I journaled about it a little bit and I realized that it was hard for me to define it because I feel like creativity is expressed in so many different ways and there's so many examples I could come up with about creativity. For me, the creativity that I chase is that magical moment when a spark comes to me of a melody of a song that I want to try to capture, or if I'm reading a lyric and something comes to me to add to it, or, you know, just every morning since the pandemic, I've been having a new ritual of having a cup of coffee and feeding the birds and watching the animals come. And the beauty of nature to me is so embodies the spirit of creativity. So there's so many different ways that creativity manifests. But for me, those were the ones that were front and foremost.
Mm. First of all, I really like how you, the precursor was, you said, I chase. Like,
yes.
That is really a great way to preface it.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, because it feels magical when creativity shows up, especially in creating music. I remember there was an interview with Bob Dylan, and he was talking about it feels like a song is in the wind and you catch it. And that's kind of, for me, what it feels like. I never know when it's going to show up, so I always have something ready to capture it. Like a recorder, but it's trying to make the space for that to happen more often. And that's something I've been working on during the pandemic, is trying to create more space for creativity to show up.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's obviously so important. And I see it so often in what I do. You know, quick thing on me, you know, art teacher, 30 years, worked with kids, adults, all different kinds of abilities and all different kinds of settings. And especially with adults, what you're saying is it applies so much because so many adults don't make the space. Mm. Because there's so many, I don't know, and people can answer it for themselves, but I see it as people make themselves so busy.
Yeah.
That for many reasons, they kind of fill space to make busyness in order to kind of hide and disconnect from themselves.
I totally agree. That's so funny. I just had a conversation like that with someone yesterday. You're echoing the same thing we were talking about. I mm-hmm. totally agree. But anyway, not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So what was it from your perspective? How did the conversation start?
The same way we talked about how sometimes busyness can keep us from parts of ourselves that maybe we don't want to feel or we don't want to think about. So we maintain this constant hamster wheel of being busy. And I feel like all that kinetic activity in the mind is deadly for creativity.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because I find that, and I'm guilty of it too. It's kind of like you said, we don't want to feel, but in that not feeling, there's so much sadness because we're not expressing it, because we're not trying to go for that. We're not trying to find that spark, or we're not embodying that spark, like you said, or capturing that moment that can be as simple as looking out at nature and admiring the trees and the sunset.
There's so much beauty there and there's so much peace there. I feel like it's a very healing thing to do. And it's something that before the pandemic, it wasn't a ritual in my life. It was something I did once in a while. It was something I was wanted to do more of, but I never made the space for it. And now it's something that I do as soon as I wake up in the morning.
Mm. Yeah. So tell me what did your life look more like before pre-pandemic?
How far back do I want to go? It's interesting to me and fascinating to me that you come from the world of art and teaching art. I have a background in fine art. So I come from being a sculptor. And eventually I made the transition into music. I always had a love of music, but I decided to start really putting my attention there and hoping to have a full-time vocation in that regard. And about 7 years ago, I was able to leave the part-time job I had. And most of the time that I spent was on booking shows, booking tours. We usually did a seasonal snowbird tour, I called it. Every January we would leave and go play in New Orleans and Alabama. Last year we also played in Florida. So this is like the first January I've been home for a while. But most of my time was consumed with finding the places to play, routing out the tours, and then domestically filling up enough shows every month so that I could make, you know, my budget to live, my expenses. So, and then promoting all those shows. So most of my time was really spent on admin. I mean, when you think of a freelance musician, you don't think of admin, but it felt like that was probably 75% of what I did. And now since the pandemic, I don't have to do any of that. So it really has caused me to dig deeper in what I want to express creatively and artistically. And I find that this time since the pandemic has really given me an opportunity to look more inward and think more about what I want creatively and for the rest of my life. I think it's given us a chance to pause, those of us who are blessed enough to be healthy and safe and home.
Yeah. Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly. Yeah, I mean, so grateful for health and so grateful for all of that. And I think it gave time, like you said, for personal reflection, for self, for myself, for really diving into my company, and also for the more connection with the people around me, like within the immediate and within the bigger sense. As a family, you know, we have my husband and one teenager and one now, he's turning 21 tomorrow. But for us really bonding and coming together in a different way because we all had to stop and we actually don't hate each other. we didn't before, but you know, it's more spending more quality time together and really getting to know each other more, but then also connecting with all of these people, this network of people I never would have met. I now know people in Australia and all over Europe and, just in so many different places because of other opportunities that would have never been presented otherwise.
I have to wonder, was that any connection to the internet?
Yeah.
The way we're connecting. Yeah. I find that to be true too. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
Yeah, because that's where everybody's turning to. And yeah, I have a friend who she launched one a book, and in she's supposed to have a book signing and all this, and she's in Colombia, and she wasn't able to have that. So what ended up happening was she went online, and all these people came on, and she got to talk to people from all over the world saying congratulations, and just it was all about connections. So she never would have had somebody from Australia and California and Vermont and Colorado and New Jersey at her event otherwise.
It's really changed things. It's really opened up a more of a distanced community that's now closer. Like for example, when I would send out an e-newsletter, I would send it out by zip code on where we were headed and connect with the people in the area where we are. And now, since we're only performing on the internet, we send it to everybody, like all over the country. So it's like it mirrors exactly what you're saying. We have these different kinds of opportunities because of the technology. We're really grateful for this technology, even though for me it's a big learning curve. It's really an amazing way for everybody to connect, especially now.
Yeah, so it sounds like for you, it's really opened up a space like to really dive into your content to then be able to reach your people. So you can really, yeah, like you can really dive into what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It really makes you think more creatively about how can you reach people? What's the best direction for me to go? We've been exploring the live stream concerts, and that seems to, for me, feels for me personally, like the best way to connect, because people will come up in the chat and it's always so joyful to see who's there with you, and they make comments real time as you're playing. So even though it's not the same thing as being there in a room and seeing the expression on their face and feeling their energy and hearing the applause, it still feels like for me the closest way to at least feel like connected to that person.
Yeah, definitely. That's are you doing it like as Facebook Lives or anything where you can see people like giving hearts and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we started using the platform is called StreamYard,
Yeah.
and it can connect to YouTube and pardon me, and Facebook. We've been broadcasting mostly to Facebook because it seems like that's the easiest way for me to feel that kind of connection with people because of just what you said, you know.
Yeah, so tell me more about, I'm really intrigued with so you have your fine arts background and then you transitioned into this amazing style of this 1940s like vintage. So my first question is, does it feel, was it a difficult transition? Are there similarities? Are there like major differences, obviously, besides them being two different mod mediums, but
Well, I feel like because I came from fine art, I was always very visual, but along that whole journey, I loved music, and music was always a big part of my life, but I didn't see myself as a performer. I was very shy, and I had to make a decision when I went to college. Was I going to, you know, really go for music, or was I going to go for art? And I felt like at that time it was very hard for me to make the decision, but I went for art. But being a sculptor and being very visual, I feel like that translates into how I express visually with music, like our artwork and my persona and all those things. And I feel like singing is, I don't know, I feel like it's sculpting words. When you sing, how you shape your mouth and how you deliver a sentence, you have different options on how you want that to sound. And when I listen to vintage singers, you can really hear the differences in how they're emoting and how they're forming words and how they end their a note of a line. So I feel like there's similarities there.
I love how you just said that. That is so cool. Sculpting words and shaping them. Yes, and
Yeah.
yes. I totally get that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, like literally, because it is that physical movement of how you move your mouth, and how as a performer also, you're moving in space where you're emoting that way.
Yes.
Never thought of it that way. That is so cool.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
You're welcome.
you for that. Yeah, that's really, really cool. So, okay, so yeah, I just got caught up in that excitement of that. So, where else do we want to go with this? So, is there anything else we want to say about how you define creativity? And audience, please feel free to jump in with any questions or comments too. So
I would
anything else?
say those three things that I mentioned were the things that I focus on, particularly with manifesting creativity, but there are so many ways that creativity exists and is expressed for people. So I just want to say that what I said, I don't believe that that's limited to that. I believe it's so expansive.
And it is, but the beauty of this space is I love talking to people about, because it's all about sharing stories and then being able to grow and being inspired by each other, because we have so many similarities and differences, and it's all perspective. We have different experiences and see things in different ways. And then but the cool thing is that, yeah, that's what my company is all about. Like, I am creative. I am passionate about saying that it comes in all different forms and everybody has a voice. That's what creativity is. To me, it's
That's
expression
beautiful.
and it's your voice and everybody has one. And it's like, once we own it, I have seen people's, besides their lot, I mean, I guess I'll start with their physical body language changes once they realize that they're good at something.
I
And then
totally agree with that.
when they take it to the next step and they're like, oh, I'm not just good at it. Like, this really lights me up. Like, this takes me to that flow space. It takes me to that space where I can just feel peaceful, but yet excited and all this. And it's life-changing.
It's a healing thing. I really feel like for me personally, creativity and expression is a healing art. And if I don't do it, I can feel it in my body that I need to do it. And even my mood will change. I'll start to get cranky. I'll start to not be as happy with life, and I'll start to feel creaky. And if I, sing and perform and do something creative, I just feel lighter. And I feel like anything that needed to be released got released, when I was singing. Like I could compare it to, when you're a kid and you feel like you have to scream in a pillow. Like, to me, creativity can be that kind of outlet.
Yeah, definitely. Which is that whole like stuffing down of emotions and stuffing down of feelings and being so disconnected. What you're saying is that acknowledgement and that expression to be able to let it out and be like, oh, God, I can breathe. There's space.
Absolutely.
I think it's important to say that it doesn't have to be for other people's approval. You don't have to be, whatever this is, doesn't, whatever your voice is, whatever your expression is, doesn't have to be for a whole audience to hear or see. It can just be for you. And that's your release, because I see so many times, I've seen so many times that that's when people do get shut down also. Is when somebody says something, like in the very beginning stages, somebody makes a comment, like, why did you make that elephant blue? And then the person's like, oh, that was, yeah, I shouldn't have made the elephant blue. I guess I'll never draw an elephant again. I guess I'll never draw again because I suck.
Inner
And
critic.
yeah. 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 And then they grow up and, they hold on to all that.
Yeah, I think that the inner critic can be so deadly to creativity, and sometimes we don't even know where that voice came from. If was it something that somebody said to us? Where did we internalize it? I've tried to figure that out, and I came to the conclusion that I guess it doesn't matter where it came from. The object is to not let it have power over your process, because it can stifle your ability to create.
Yeah, it's an important part because certain points I would say it's, if you can pinpoint it, then you can just forgive it and relieve it, release it. But at the same time, all the energy that you can put into that, like you said, it's all about not letting it have power. I was talking to somebody the other day and we were laughing because there was another podcast that I did because we were talking about when a negative idea comes into your mind, you say delete. So you just kind of in your head go delete, delete. So imagine if people were just walking around and saying things that they didn't want to hear and they're like delete, delete, delete.
I do the same thing. I say cancel, cancel, cancel. But I say it in my head. Unless I'm just home, then me and my husband will be like, what did we just say? Cancel, cancel, cancel.
So funny.
It's a good practice thing. So you catch yourself and you realize how often that stuff's flying around in there.
Right. There's a lot of like ridiculousness flying around in there where
Yeah.
you're like, just get out. What am I doing? And why am I going down that rabbit hole? Like, that is so exhausting. So I'm acknowledging Judy. So Judy, thank you so much for being here and introducing us. And she said, such an interesting journey, April May. I can absolutely see how your arts background informs your work, brand, and music.
Oh, thank you, Judy. Judy's so wonderful. Thank you, Judy, for connecting me with Hollis and for all your support. Judy's such a wonderful artist. Everybody needs to check her out. And she just released another single.
Woohoo!
I just bought it. It's beautiful. Everything she does is beautiful.
So tell us, how did you and Judy meet?
Well, during the pandemic, I was also exploring resources online to try to learn more about music production, music promotion. And I came across a woman, her name is Cheryl Engelhart, and she has a program called Amplify, which is for musicians. And I joined it, and it really helped to keep me focused on tasks that I wanted to do during the time and not get, caught up in being sad that I couldn't tour and everything else. And Judy was also a member of that group, and that's how I got to meet her.
Yeah. And I think it's important to realize that is the reality of everything with the transition of us going through all of this stuff and change, you acknowledge it. And then here you found this group where you could find community and support. And
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
it's a really good thing. And she said, me right back at you, thank you for the shout out.
Oh, you're welcome.
So before we go into the second question, then tell me about the whole the vintage component to it. So yeah, where did that come from?
Well, when I first started doing music, I started out in the blues and rock. Like I came from rock, like in the 80s, that was everything that was around. Then I went from that to a journey to the blues. And the blues is an older form. And as I started to travel around with that band I was in at the time with my husband, we got exposed to different kinds of music while we were on tour. We got exposed to bluegrass when we were in North Carolina. We got exposed to more rockabilly when we were in Memphis. We loved going to New Orleans and hearing all the brass bands. And I ended up going on a journey to deeper into a roots music journey. The last album that I released with that band, the band was called South Saturn Delta. It was called Drink from the Well because I really believe that if you go back to earlier forms of roots music and you drink from that well of their inspirations and the way they colored music and what those styles are, that you could create something that was unique. And so that was my musical journey at that time. So that's where I got into the path of going farther and farther back into different forms of music, different styles, older styles. And that really lit me up. And I loved the way everything looked. I love the colors and the hairstyles and the clothes and just everything. So it was an organic journey. I didn't expect to be doing the kind of music that I'm doing now when I started. But I'm glad I'm here.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I mean, for lack of a better word right now, yeah, it's that journey that happens that you don't expect because you're not trying to figure out the how all the time. It organically happens and then it just feels like such a natural fit.
Yeah, that's how it came to be. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun playing with those vintage hairstyles, and I really liked the victory rolls. I thought they were a lot of fun, and the flower and all the pop colors and the polka dots and the bright reds. And so like, even when we designed the Boogie Bus, we used candy apple red and banana cream were the colors, and we did it in 1940s style. There's even a comet on the side of it, a stylized comet that they put on the buses back in the 30s and the 40s. So I was really inspired by that.
Yeah, so tell everybody about this bus.
We call her the Boogie Bus because on the back of her, on the destination plate above the door, it says it's all about the boogie, because, you know, which is referring to rhythmic styles and the vintage styles. But she's a school bus. She's a shorter school bus. And I really wanted to have something like that for touring. And then the other piece of that was we got very inspired by Pete Seeger, who lived in Beacon, New York, about 3.5 hours north of us. And we started going up there a lot to hear him perform. And he puts on a festival. I mean, he's passed now, but the festival still continues, called Clearwater Festival. And long story short, they had a sustainable living area of that festival. And these little Mercedes-Benz cars were coming in on diesel, and they were working on the cars. And by the end of the festival on the next day, they were driving out on the French fry oil from the vendors. And I was like, what is going on? What is this? This is unbelievable. That's what I said. And apparently I heard a rumor that one of the cars was Pete's car. I know he had an electric truck named Truxy. And I understand he, at one point, he also had a grease car. So I thought that was unbelievable. You had to have a diesel engine. So when we got back home, within the year, we had a diesel Benz, a 1977 Benz 300D, and that was our first, running on grease. And then I was like, oh, you know, for touring, at the time we had a minivan. I was like, wouldn't it be great if we had, you know, a short bus and we could set up a space to sleep and we could have actually be comfortable and still have our equipment in the back and make it really like a show bus. And so that was my fantasy. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and my husband will attest to that. I'd be like, oh, I see a comet on the side of the bus, and I would be sketching. And anyway, we got the bus, and then the first thing we did, we took it right to the paint shop. I have been working it for a marketing company doing graphics part-time, and the guy next door to me, his name was Charlie Pilgrim, and he did a lot of restoration paint jobs on older, beautiful cars. And I asked him if he would want to take this on. So I gave him all my drawings of every angle, and he fleshed it out on the bus, and it was beautiful. So that's the story of the Boogie Bus, and that's our only vehicle. And since I know you're local, if you ever see it riding around now, you'll know what you're looking at.
I will. So wait, I need to know, like, how many miles can you get off a gallon of this? Like,
well, it really depends on how many miles the vehicle gets. So if you have a diesel vehicle, and let's say it gets 15 miles to the gallon on diesel, if you're running on vegetable oil, you might get like 2 or 3 more miles to the gallon on that. And when it's highway miles, you even get a little bit more. So it really opens up when you're touring and driving. And the great thing about that is when you're touring, you're not spending all that money on gas.
Right.
So gas could really eat up a tour budget. So when we were touring on vegetable oil, it really allowed us to, come home with some money in our pocket, because when you're gone, your bills are still waiting for you when you get home. So that was really a part of our touring budget. Plus, I just love it. I always fantasized about having a little school bus. I think they're just adorable. And not to stay on it too long, but just to give you an example, when we ride through Strawbridge Lake with the bus, little kids will like run alongside of it. They'll stop and they'll smile. Sometimes we're on 295, and a car will pull up next to us and they'll wave and we don't even know them. We'll beep. Like, it just brings joy to people. And I love that it brings smiles to people. And then it makes us light up, because we forget that we're in it, because we're used to it.
Right. But I think you're bringing, it's so important. It's these little things. And like you just said, you get used to it because you're in it all the time and it's just your form of transportation. But it's seen as something different. And it does. I'm sure when people look at it, they just smile.
They do. And I love that. I love that so much. And then if people ask me about it and I tell them it's zero carbon emission, and I mean, I love that it's so environmental, because that's so dear to my heart too. So it feels really good to have the Boogie Bus. And I hope she lives forever. I know she's a mechanical thing, but.
I also love how you talk about the car as a she, or the bus as a she. My mom is on here. So, hey, mom, if you're, because we have always named our cars, and, you know, they've been girls. And sometimes people look at us, look, I know they can look at me like I'm crazy because my car's name is Violet.
I'm
very creative because she's like a black cherry color. So her name, I call her Vi or Violet. And I'm always like, if my daughter says something about the car, I'm like, it's okay. She's
if somebody says something about, you know, this bus is such and such old, you better, I'm like, shh, you don't hear that. They don't know what they're talking
about. I feel like I'm not crazy now. Thank you, April.
No, not at all. And I'll tell you something else. When we were up in Beacon, New York, chatting with Pete Seeger about his truck, my friend said, Pete, does your truck have a name? And he looked up right back at her and said, Truxy.
See?
So yeah. We're not the only ones.
We're not the only ones. My mom's car is Annie Rose and Roseanne. Sorry, mom, if I'm getting it, like if I'm having a dyslexic moment, but she got a sticker for the back of the car too. So everybody could see the name.
That's so cool.
So, okay. So anyway, so moving on to question two, we've already covered some of the stuff, but how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
I'm looking up. I made some notes in my journal and I'm just curious to see what I wrote. Yes. Sometimes it's spontaneous and it just shows up. And this is so true. I found that if I have an intention of wanting to be creative, that I need to create space for that. And I learned when we were writing the last album that one of the things that helped me, and I don't know if this will help other people, but I'm going to mention it just in case it does. But I found that after coming through a work week, like let's say on Friday, I'll have a wind down time. If I'm going to write on the weekend, I'll have a wind down time where I don't look at the phone. I put it on silent. I don't go on the computer. And I just take time to have space. And then if I do that, then the next day over the weekend, things will start to come through. If I'm just playing music, I'll start to get ideas. But I found that if I don't have that space to kind of decompress, I'm less likely to have that happen for me. So that's something I've been trying to cultivate on the weekends to get into writing mode for this season.
That's very good advice. And it makes complete sense because, you know, like we've said, people are busy, people are like doing things, and then that's where all the excuses come in I can't do it, I'm just too tired. But instead of maybe turning on the TV and watching a movie, instead of doing something else to keep you busy, creating that space for you to be able to decompress, to then allow in a different way where you're not being surrounded by more noise.
Yeah. Because I feel like it makes the head just too busy, too many thoughts, everything's too fast. And I feel like if you don't have those moments of quiet, like a lot of times for me, writing will happen in the middle of the night. When we wrote this last album last season, I kept a notebook and a digital recorder near the bed so that I could catch these things because they were just flying in when I would wake up in the middle of the night or in the morning. And I think there's something about that space and that quiet that for me allows creativity to come in a way that, you know, also like if I'm just doing a movement, something that I'm not really thinking about, like, you know, if you're going for a walk or driving or something like that, where you're not being super intellectual or super busy or stressed, things will come. But for me, I found that to be the case. And I found that if I do that regularly, like when we were writing last season, we made it a point that for 2 months, every weekend, we had, you know, quiet time on Friday and we would write during the weekend. And that's when things really started to move for me writing that album.
Mm-hmm. So in that quiet time, what did that look like for you? So you had your work week and that for that established quiet time, were you like, I'm setting aside an hour? Was there much thought that went into it? Or were you like, it has to be at least 10 minutes?
Oh, for me, it had to be like half a day at least, or sometimes a whole day, but at least half a day. Like after I got done the things I had to do or after dinner, I would put the phone on quiet. I would not go on the computer. We have a wood stove, so I would light the wood stove, and just kind of just sit in front of the wood stove, look out the window, look at the fire, and just, you know, just start to create that space of not doing. I think it has to do with not doing, for me, to start to create that space.
Yeah, definitely. Because that busyness, you know, it's repetitive, but that busyness just creates, like you said, noise. It's too much noise. Mm-hmm. And the downloads, it's, you know, they say that when going to bed, the last thing you're thinking about can often be the first thing that you wake up to.
Data state.
Yeah, but it's like getting into that space where you're, I don't know the terminology to use right now, but you're basically calm and you're in a better headspace. Mm-hmm. And to allow it to open up, because I could totally relate to you saying, like, in the middle of the night, which is so smart for you to actually have a recorder, like something right there to do. Often I had the intentions and then don't do that. But I had an opportunity to write a chapter in a book. And it was the first time that I wrote in that way. And I was really grateful for the opportunity. And I had a short period of time to do it, but I really knocked it out in about 2 days. Wow. And one of the days was really, I woke up at 1:30 in the morning, and because it just came to me, and just worked on it for about 3 hours.
It's wild. It's when it comes. I've really learned when it comes, I have to jump on it because it may not come back. I keep using the word magic, but it does almost feel that way because it's so unpredictable. Dave and I, my husband, we both write together, and we have a rule in the house. If somebody gets that moment and they're scribbling on paper, they're you know, talking into the recorder, we realize what's happening. We have a rule that we don't talk to that person. We go in the other room, let them be in their process, let them get it down, get it captured, because it is so sporadic when things like that come. But when you go with the momentum of it, when it comes, it's great to see the things that can emerge. And even if you're writing a song and you're writing it out because it's coming, and then you read it later and it's like, what is this about? Sometimes I'm writing songs, I'm like, I have no idea what this is about. And I don't figure it out till the end. It's really an interesting process. I'm sure it's different for everybody, but it feels magical to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's again, it's coming to me. It's like not figuring out the how. It's like being open enough. You're open and you're receptive. You're in this receptive mode where it just becomes something. And sometimes for me, I'll fall into that, and I'll do, you know, it'll come to me and I'll do it. And then I'll be like, nah, that's really that wasn't it. But then I'll keep moving and sculpting and shaping. And then it's like, that's what it was meant to be. It's like having that contrast of what you don't want to what you do want.
There's almost an element of discovery that I think even happens with the creator when
you're
in creativity. You may not realize what it's going to be, you know, or where it's leading you to, or what the end result's going to be like. It's like, that's part of the journey.
Yeah, and I think it's a huge thing for people to realize that they're going to make mistakes along the way.
Oh, of course. I mean,
you have to.
Myself, I have tons of lyrics that never turned into anything, but some of that I think just gets the juices flowing, and it still is going to help you to create the next time because you're committing to it and you're opening up that space for you to start to be able to access more creativity the more you do it.
Yeah. Was there anything else that you wanted to add as far as what you incorporate into your life? Any activities, anything else that you like to do?
I like to meditate to help me. That helps another thing that helps to calm my mind from all that kinetic activity. That's been a really good practice for me. And also like stretching. I used to do yoga, but even just stretching and deep breathing can also be something if you want to get into that creative space and you're looking for things to do to wind yourself down. before you get in that space and make space for it, all those things I think are helpful, or anything that brings you calmness and peace. And try not to feel guilty that you're not doing. That's something that I personally is a challenge for me, because I have a very type A, you know, I'm fighting with I should be doing something, you know, music business like, and trying to just create that space. It's definitely a push and pull trying to create that space for the creativity. But I really am on a mission now to incorporate that more. I want to enter into a writing cycle and bring that in more, because I think it's a balance. We all have things we have to do, but creativity is a sacred space, and it's such a healing thing.
That was so important that I have to say that again, and like say it with a loud voice. Try not to feel guilty for not doing.
Yeah, right.
Yes, it's huge. It's
That's
huge.
A challenge for me. And I think for a lot of people. I think in our society, you know, we're just caught up with doing all the time, seeing people doing all the time. I think even social media, we're constantly seeing people doing, and there's a lot of self-reflection, like, oh, maybe I should be doing that, or maybe I'm not working hard enough, or maybe I should be putting more time in. And yeah, that space of it's okay to not be doing, it's okay to be. The being is where the creativity comes out.
And like you said, there's that comparison component. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's funny because the other day, although it was working in my favor the other day, but sometimes I get like I have to say out loud what I'm doing, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to rest, and then I'm going to do this. So I was like, I'm just going to kind of chill out for a little bit before I go down to my office and start doing some stuff I needed to do. And my son, he's the 21-year-old. He's like, okay. And he went upstairs, and I was like, I'm just going to chill out for about 45 minutes. And I think I sat down for about 2 minutes, and then he came downstairs, and I was already in the basement. He's like, what are you doing? Like, he's like, that wasn't even like a few minutes. you couldn't even sit for those few minutes. And I was like, I just got inspired, actually. Like, and it was one of those things where I had to act on it.
Oh, that's great. So it came, you mean it came faster. It came so fast you didn't need the 45 minutes to get to it.
It didn't even like, I was like, I just need to like, I'm like, Hollis, you just have to stop for like just a little bit, because I was going. And I sat for like 2 minutes, and he went upstairs and came down. He's like, where the hell is she? Like, where did she go? And he comes down to the office. He's like, that wasn't even like 5 minutes. What's your problem? I'm like, I had to do this. I just got an idea.
That's awesome. I feel so good when that happens.
It does. It does, definitely. So yeah. So anything else you want to add to that before we get to the last question?
No, I think that feels good to me.
Okay. Yeah, this has been good. So grateful to our live listeners. Appreciate you. And yeah, if you have anything you want to say, type in the chat box or make a comment, please do so.
That's so cool that you do it with live listeners. I just wanted to mention that. I think that I've not ever heard of that before in a podcast. I think it's awesome that you do it that way.
Oh, thanks. I like it because I love having the feedback of I love the feedback. And like you said, feeling like people are here and they're a part of it, that connection. Community component.
It's a great feeling.
So lastly is, so why is creativity important?
For me, I feel like creativity is healing, is a healing modality. And since I've changed the course of my life to be more creative and pursue my dreams, I feel like I can't ever go back to the way I lived before. And I just feel like it's healing in so many ways. And whatever modality of expression someone is being creative, I think it's just so incredibly important that we create, because the process of creation, and I think there's a release that happens, in at least for me, when I create, whether I'm singing or whether I'm writing, that enlivens me, and it has a healing quality to it. So it's something that I want to do for the rest of my life, and it's changed the course of my life and how the decisions I make and what I focus on. And I hope that it does that for other people as well, because I think it's a beautiful thing.
Mm. Yeah. It definitely, that whole healing component, so, so important. Couldn't agree more. And as you were talking, it like just made me think of something like real, real quick. When I was teaching at a school in, I have a lot of my experiences in urban settings, and I had in an eighth grade class, and we were doing something with where they had to create a product. So they had to name the company and what the product would be and all this kind of stuff. So they kind of did a sketch and they kind of built what the space would look like and what their product would be. And this one girl who had a lot of behavioral stuff going on, I never knew what to expect from her when I showed up. And but she was into this, and she pulled me aside and she's like, I just don't know what to call it. And I said to her, I said, it's that feeling that you get in your stomach. Like, I don't want you to think about it that much, but you know that feeling of like butterflies and nervousness and excitement in your stomach when something happens? Think of it that when it hits you, that's what it's going to feel like. Wow. So I was doing the presentation to the class of just kind of like, remember, this is what we're doing before we get our hands on. And all of a sudden, when I was presenting, all of a sudden her body went straight and her face like literally lit up. And I looked at her and I said, you got it? And she looked at me and she went, yeah. I was like, that was so cool.
I love how you described that to her. That was perfect.
Thank you. It feels like that combination of nervousness, excitement, butterflies, where you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what performing feels like for me every time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a vocal coach one time. I went to him and I said, his name is Robert Edwin. He's local and he's amazing. And I said, Mr. Edwin, when am I going to not get that feeling in my stomach before I go on stage? And he said, honey, when you're dead. That's how you know that you're alive.
That's how you know you're It's so, see, because tell me about, so you said in the beginning, you said you had your art background and that you were very shy.
Yes.
And then here you put yourself in the space where you're becoming kind of a character, but you're putting yourself out there. So tell me about that transition some more in this healing ability, this healing qualities of the creativity. Like, how is that transition for you?
Well, it's funny because when I started singing, I always sang for myself, like for my own enjoyment. I always sang along to music in my car, and I didn't see myself as being a singer in a band. It just didn't occur to me, I guess because of my shyness. And I had a friend who played bass, and I was over his house one time, and because we were so close and we were such good friends, I was singing while he was playing, and he kind of tricked me into an audition for a band that he was starting because I played bass too. And he told me to come, and I brought my bass. I thought he wanted me to play bass. And here he said, no, you're going to sing. And I was like, what? No, I'm not going to sing. And he said, no, you can sing. I want you to give it a try. And it was very difficult for me. I had never sang publicly before, and I would get so nervous. I remember the first show we went to was at a private party at a college, and I was like sunk into the seat in the car, and I didn't want to get out of the car, and I didn't want to look at people when I was singing. I was so nervous. But right. As I got into that process, like if he didn't force me, I wonder what my life would have been like now. But as I got more comfortable with singing and the feeling of singing, I started to relax more and get more into what I was doing. And that, I started to shed that little by little. And then the changing of the style, that it's almost like my on stage persona, it kind of evolved naturally. I knew that I wanted to do something really different as a performer and to look, you know, different and to really embody the music. So I started really playing around with hairstyles and things. And then once I did that, I felt really good about it. And,
excuse me.
Bless you. And so that also evolved organically, but I think it helps me to get into that space too, because I'm doing vintage style music. It's just all part of the feeling of that vintage style, and and the time periods, and you know, it just helps me get in the mood more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a coughing attack, so excuse me, everybody. Hold on. I'm gonna ask my daughter to get me some water. sorry. No, it's okay. But when you were saying about the whole thing about if he didn't push you, mm-hmm. It just made me think of that whole uncomfortableness of things. Like, just because something's uncomfortable doesn't mean it's bad.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
It can be a life-changing event. I mean, obviously there's layers in what that uncomfortable is, but that it can really be transformational.
Yeah, 100%.
And how you were saying how you were embodying this, like on stage, of how you took on, you know, the hairstyle and the colors and the clothing and all that, like you really embodied the whole everything.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it feels really good. It feels really good to do that. It felt really natural once I started to do it. Now, like, I love to do that. Mm-hmm. That's become part of my personality. I mean, this all happened over, like, in 2010 is when I started this group. And that all started around 2008, 2009. So it was a while back, but I still do it and I love it.
So wait, so you've had April, May, and the June bug since 2010?
Yeah.
Wow. So it's been 11 years.
Yeah. That's when we put it together. And we just released our fifth album last year.
So exciting. And it's only it is, and it's only going to grow and grow. And now, since you've, you know, with all of this, figured out ways that you can reach more people,
it's
amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's a very interesting time.
Sorry. Thank you to my daughter, she just delivered me water.
Sorry, everybody. Me too. I hate when that happens.
God. Anyway, so April, May, we're at this point where, please tell people how they can find you. I am going to put everything in the bio, so, but if you could please share out, that would be great.
Sure. So the best way to find me is on our website, which is aprilmaymae.com. Of course, you know, we're on YouTube and Spotify and Bandcamp and all those places. But if you hop on over to aprilmay.com, there's a space on the homepage where we would love to invite you if you want to be on our email list. And I love to love on my email list. I sent them our last single that came out. I sent it to everybody free. And I always let them know things as they're happening sooner. I really cherish that list because something happened to me during this whole time where Facebook took down my personal page and my Instagram page for reasons unknown to me. And I still have my band page, but it really taught me a lesson that I don't own those platforms. And so I realized how important my email list is to me, because it's the best way that I can keep in touch with people no matter what happens on platforms. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's a really good point. It's true. We take advantage of this stuff thinking that, oh yeah, that's mine, it's mine. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, and it was so strange because I only would post musical things or things to try to uplift people's energy, inspiring things. So I have no understanding as to why that happened, but it did teach me how the importance of my email list. So
yeah. Yeah, well, so that is the main way to get in touch with you. And on this, one of the things that you said that I want to just say again to remind people and just remind people is try not to feel guilty for not doing, because that's where you create the space for your ideas and your expressions to like download and come through you. So release that guilt, let it go.
Absolutely. And if you feel uncomfortable about it, just understand, like you had mentioned earlier, that you know, sometimes we have to break outside our comfort zone a little bit to grow. So, you know, even if that voice is chattering in your head, just ignore it, cancel, and move forward and just give yourself a chance to see what happens, what comes through for you.
Yeah. Such a beautiful way to end. Such a beautiful note. Everything always has this natural flow. and perfect ending, which I'm so grateful for. This is a space that's all about inspiring each other, connecting and sharing stories, and just want to empower people and just share the message. So please like, follow, and share so we can help spread the message that everybody has an expression and a voice and a talent. And we just want to make people feel good and find joy.
That's beautiful. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And thank you for having me on the show.
So thank you, April May. I'm so grateful to have met you. And and everybody, thank you so much for joining us live. And I just wish you so much health and happiness and just, yeah, all the good stuff. So we'll be talking really soon. And thanks again. Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
I guess it's just as well I'm gonna fire off a hoodoo rocket. Highly reactionary, a hoodoo rocket. Anything but temporary, a hoodoo rocket. Potent and extraordinary.